Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spandana Spoorti Financial Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena, MD and CEO of Spandana Spoorti Financial Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you. Thank you for joining the call and investing time in understanding the journey of Spandana Spoorti Financial Limited. Friends, it has been over six quarters that the current management has been handling the business under Spandana 2.0. Over the past quarters, we've collectively focused on the following priorities. Number one, people, which is reinforcing the middle and senior management team with professionals. That was number one. Number two, or the second priority, was strengthening governance, risk, and control with added focus on refining the processes. Number three, focus on customer acquisition-led business growth. Number four, technology scale-up. Number five, customer-led initiatives with emphasis on product services and meeting their lifecycle needs. These were the priorities, if I may just refresh, which were the ones which we had set out when we had come out with the Vision 2025 document on the 11th of July 2022. While the agenda is still work in progress, suffice to add, we have made significant progress on each of the items. At this stage, we can say with reasonable surety that the company is on course to becoming a process-driven and stable enterprise with professionals manning their respective domains. We are taking all the steps to ensure the company becomes future-ready to capitalize the opportunity that exists in the environment. Before I go on to the results, let me also articulate the broad changes we have made over the past to make the company future-ready. The first is people, practices, and communication. Number two, cultural changes. Number three, process improvements. Number four, a completely data-driven approach through the organization. And number five, distribution initiatives. They are in no particular order. Each of them is as important as the other. On the five topics that I just covered, let me just elaborate. We have rolled out employee benefits like MediClaim, life insurance, formalizing performance management system, institutionalizing long service awards, greater focus on training and development of our team members, organizing town halls every quarter, which is a two-way communication with employees to communicate the progress of the company and vice versa, taking feedback. We believe that in a large distribution as us, it is important that we over-communicate with our teams so that the thought process and feedback both are well cascaded and received. Specific to distribution, we have taken the following steps, which are very important in our considered opinion for defining the future of the company. The first one is customer acquisition-led growth. Second is moving to weekly repayment model from the current monthly. Number three, geographical concentration mitigation approach, which is how we had come across and we had come out with a seven focus states mandate. Number four, branch expansion. On the branch expansion, I would just want to detail. During the course of this calendar year, we have operationalized 292 branches already. There are 110 branches which are ready to be operationalized over the next 3 months, thus taking our tally to over 1,500 branches. This completes our plan of having 1,500 branches by FY25, as articulated in the Vision 25. So while our Vision 25 document had a plan of 1,500 branches end of FY25, but looking at the way we were progressing, we thought that it is important that with the momentum, we open the branches as well, so that we have a clear 12 months for all the 1,500 branches to kind of deliver over the next next year, which is FY25. So while we are ahead of our plan, which obviously impacts cost in the shorter run, however, in the long run, we will have a significant upside to our distribution and profitability plans. We will now have the full 12 months of next financial year to deliver growth from the branches. Point number 5, focus on JLG. Joint liability group is something that we as a team believe in and we are passionate about it. So the philosophy of 5 center meetings, which is Monday to Friday, with 5 groups in a center and 5 members in a group, is something that we are progressing on. Another focus area is timely conduct of center meetings and focus on attendance. Number 3 is focus on operational efficiency, like distances traveled by a loan officer, geotagging of customer homes, etc. While I have listed the focus areas, I have to admit that we are not there yet. We will take about 3-4 quarters to reach the desired levels. But as they say, you know, this is continuous work in progress for a... If I were to kind of give you a gist, our belief and philosophy remains. Number 1, acquire more, which is the customer acquisition bit. Number 2, lend shorter tenures, which is 12 months and 18 months is what we've introduced, and accordingly we see a significant movement in those portfolios. Number 3 is muted ticket sizes. Personally, as a management, we feel that it's always good to be short on ticket sizes, not really aggressive on ticket sizes, and which is what we are progressing on. And number 4, weekly repayment. We will continue to pursue this path. If you remember, we had said that all the new branches that we are going to open will be weekly branches, and we have a plan from now until exit 25 of converting the current monthly branches into weekly. We can safely say that end of FY25, about 80% Spandana should be weekly. Coming to collection model or Project Parivartan, you know, and here I would want to spend some time. Project Parivartan, so just to give you a background, in our company, the first 10 days of the month, first 10 days, calendar days of the month, were reserved for collections, and the balance 20 days was for disbursement, customer acquisition, etc. This was the model of the company, which, you know, we've tried to rework under the Project Parivartan, and I'll just get into the details. To ensure, so fundamentally we believe that under microfinance, we should be doing all the three things, which is acquire customers, disburse customers, and collect from the customers, all the three things at the same time. So while we had a model, we thought that this was the time, which was quarter 2, because we couldn't have done it around quarter 3 or quarter 4. So quarter 2 was the time when we said we will modify the distribution model. This was to ensure that the distribution model remained scalable and we continue to do all the three things, as I said, you know, on all the days. So we changed the model in quarter 2 in 700 branches, which covered about 1.5 million customers. So what did we change? First of all, we moved the customers' repayments from the dates, that is 1st to 10th, from the date to weekdays, which is Monday to Friday of the month, with Saturday and Sunday being a no customer operations day. This led to a change in repayment days for almost all the customers which were there in these 700 branches, which was the 15 lakh customers that I just spoke about. The reason why we did it was, while I said, you know, we had to do all the three things, acquire customers, disburse to the customers, and collect from the customers on all the days, this also gives our employees 2 Saturdays to do training, administrative work. So we spent significant time in communicating the changes to the customers. Obviously, with a base of about 1.5 million and initiatives of this mega scale, there are bound to be disruptions. There were many instances when our team members reached to conduct center meetings, but the customers probably missed coming because their schedule was slightly different from what we would have articulated. On the contrary, there were many instances where our team members, because of the change, reached at a different time of the meetings, thus missing the customers who came and went away. The above also has led, apart from the bit of a disruption in the field, it has also led to an increase in the flows in the buckets, as you would have noticed in the presentation. However, we are very confident that this is temporary, and in the next 3 to 4 months, we will stabilize and even out the variances. Not really ideal, however, we did anticipate this. We had to bite this bullet, had to go through the temporary inconvenience and disruption for a better tomorrow. And we walked the path. We are seeing normalization, and by next quarter, we should have regularized this. Now to go to the highlights of the quarter. New customer acquisition. The results were already uploaded on the BSE and NSE, but however, I will just quickly go through the results. New customer addition during the quarter was 3.5 lakhs, a YOY growth of about 183%. So the last quarter, same year it was, last year, same quarter, it was 1.2 lakhs. So from 1.2 lakhs, it has moved to 3.5 lakhs. A quarter on quarter, last quarter, we were at 2.6 lakhs. So there's a quarter on quarter growth of 34%. So YOY growth 183%, quarter on quarter growth of 34%. We have acquired 6.1 lakh customers in the first half of the year, well on course to cross 3 million customer base by end of the year. We are currently at 2.7 million customers, a growth of 24% YOY and a 12% growth over the previous quarter. The AUM end of the quarter is 9,784 crores, a 69% growth YOY and 11% growth quarter on quarter. Geographical concentration risk in MFI is the biggest risk. Beginning of last year, when we presented the Vision 25 paper, we had identified 7 focus states where we would grow our business to mitigate this. Those states now contribute 22% to the AUM. By end of the year, we should be 26%, and end of next year, this will be in the range of 41 to 44%. End of next year, our endeavor is to ensure no state is more than 12% of the total AUM. This is a big step that we are taking. Currently, our biggest states are in the range of about 15%, 15.2, 15.3. However, you know, we have another 6 quarters to really moderate these and get the big ones down to 12%. So we are comfortable with a single state contribution of about 12% or below. On the disbursement for the quarter was 2,513 crores. This was a YOY growth of 81% and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 51%. Last quarter we disbursed, last as in quarter one, we disbursed 1,664 crores. On the asset quality, the current book is at 96.7%. This has seen a bit of a dip because of the project Parivartan that I mentioned. The GNPA, however, has gone down. It has fallen 23 bips to a 1.4%. And this is quarter on quarter. If I look at a YOY, it was 7.37% as on 30th September of last year. NNPA again has seen a reduction of 7 bips over previous quarter. So we are at 0.42%. So without confusing on too many numbers, the GNPA in the current quarter is 1.4% and NNPA is 0.42%. We continue to maintain a PCR of 70.26%. Our CRAR is at a healthy 36.6%, indicating a good balance sheet position. Collection efficiency, I have already mentioned, net collection efficiency was 97.7% versus 98.1%. So that's where a minus 0.4% for the reasons that I mentioned, Project Parivartan. The gross collection efficiency, however, which is collection with a lag, is at 100.3%. On the borrowings bit, it was a good quarter for us. We mobilized 3,191 crores in quarter versus 1,080 crores last year same quarter, so growth of about 195%. Happy to inform all that we've added three big lenders in the quarter: State Bank of India, NABARD and SIDBI. You would have seen the presentation. Our cash position also was very healthy. End of quarter, we were sitting on a cash. The balance sheet had a cash of 1,850 crores. Coming to financial performance, the total income was 640 crores, which was a growth of 106% YOY and 21% quarter on quarter. Net income was 412 crores, a growth of 89%. The yield has gone up quarter on quarter, and while the same quarter last year was 19.5%, but even on a quarter on quarter, you know, it has gone up by about 0.45%. So it was about 24% last quarter. We are at 24.5% this quarter. The NIMS of the portfolio is 14.1%, an improvement of 113 bits over previous year, however down 0.11% over previous quarter. This has been because of increase in the leverage, which has gone up from 1.98x in previous quarter to 2.31 in quarter two. So we will see some compression as we continue to increase our leverage. We've made this position earlier that a south of 4x is something that we would be comfortable in. So anywhere 3.5 to 4. And once we hit that, we start looking for growth capital. As of now, that distance is some bit away. On the PPOP, we reported a 258 crores, a YOY growth of 134%, and a 36% increase over quarter one. Consequently, our profit after tax this quarter has been 125 crores, which is a growth of 127% YOY and a 5% growth quarter on quarter. During the quarter, we also received a rating upgrade from ICRA. Our credit rating was upgraded to A stable from A minus positive earlier. So now the three rating agencies, all of them are at par. To summarize, we will end the year at about 12,000 crores of AUM. We ended the last quarter at 9,782. So we will end the year at 12,000 crores of AUM, which is exactly what we've been saying over the past few quarters. This will entail disbursing about 3,000 crores and 3,500 crores in Q3 and Q4, which we are confident of meeting. All distribution-led initiatives will be completed by end of Q3, beginning of quarter 4. These are predominantly opening of new branches and entailing the cost of opening those branches and manpower, because it takes about 60 days to operationalize a branch. We did this so that we could prepare for a clean 12 months of growth next year. So the next few months will all be about stabilizing. Next year, which is FY25, will be all about focusing on growth and, most importantly, focusing on efficiencies and productivity. We have mentioned the Vision 25 and the reference to Vision 25, which was essentially a three-year plan which we had come out on the 11th of July 2022, giving details of where do we want to take the company over the next 3 years, which is until FY25. Happy to inform all of you that we started working on the Vision 2028 plan. This is the plan we are, because when we came out with the Vision 25, it was a 3 years plan. We are already midway. We've initiated the planning exercise for the subsequent 3 years. We should be able to share the plan by end of the year. Suffice to add, we are usually optimistic of what the future holds for Spandana, and the same should find its way in the plan. I thank all the stakeholders of Spandana, the board, our lenders, and our colleagues in Spandana who pooled in their energies during the year. A special note of thanks to all the branch staff, our loan officers, branch managers, and the entire field staff who are slogging hard to deliver the results. Thank you to all of you who are on the call. You've been a constant source of encouragement by giving us positive advice, feedback, and of course, support during the year. We look forward to receiving similar encouragement in the future. We have the entire management team with us and are ready to take questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Congratulations to you and the entire team for the good quarter. So my first question was pertaining to the customer addition. So we had guided for almost 1 million customer addition during this year, and we've already added 0.61 million customers. So in second half being a stronger half, do you believe we'll be able to surpass that guidance and do much better customer acquisition, which will lead to further better loan growth?
Yeah, so Shreepal, hi. We've done about 6.1 lakhs in the first two quarters. So theoretically, what you're saying is right. But however, what you have to also keep in context is the 3,000 and the 3,500 crores that we will do. Within that, yeah, the one could become 1.1, maybe could stretch to a 11.5 lakhs as well. Beyond that, so there's a certain mix that we have in mind, which we are kind of executed. Plus, we have a lot of unfinished work on the distribution side that we had. So, yes, there is opportunity in the market. And what we've also observed is that post the release of the pent-up demand about 6-8 quarters back, now the demand is pretty stable. So we will measure and calibrate our steps, Shreepal. Our focus on customer acquisition will remain. 1.1 is a million against a 1 million guidance is a possibly a doable thing. But broadly speaking, we will remain within a 12,000 crore kind of a number and utilize the time to kind of do other distribution initiatives that we have on our agenda.
Got it. So second question was pertaining to the credit cost. So during this quarter, we have seen that increase to almost 3.9% on an annualized basis. So could you please throw some light on that, and will this run rate lead to any change in our guidance of 2% for the year?
Hi Shreepal, this is Ashish Desai. So if you look at the credit cost, we have given the breakup. What is coming from the BAU is about 1.2%. We have some legislated provisioning that we have done, which is another 2.6%. In my mind, the other items, the ARC and some correction that we had to do on the assignment portfolio that we have is largely addressed. We may have some more flows, but that will be calibrated over the period of time. What is important is to look at what is coming from the BAU or the book that we have created in the recent past, or the book which is going to continue in the balance sheet. And that is stacking at about 1.4% right now. And I think this can be improved from here on.
And any, like as you highlighted that the collection efficiency, as sir highlighted that the collection efficiency was affected because of the, project parivartan, right? So can that also lead to an increase in credit cost requirement for the year or an increase in flows from here on?
So whatever is currently built in does have some bit of impact because of parivartan as well. So it's already taken into account. Going forward, we believe that things will improve from here on. It is the initial hiccup which has added to the flows, and that is reflecting in primarily 1 to 30 and 30 to 60 bucket. But I think further flows into 90 plus, whatever the natural flow will be there, that would definitely happen. But the ones which are primarily because of administrative issues should, you know, correct in the coming few months.
So Shripal, let me also add, will there be an impact? There is already an impact. Will it flow? Yes, little bit will flow for sure. There is no doubt about it. And however, will it kind of significantly impact the guidance? No chance. You know, we had said that, you know, it will be sub of 2%. We are well below that. This is a pain of one quarter which we had to take because the model in our wisdom had to be made scalable, which we've kind of walked that path. Once we are there, now it is a, we've kind of set right about 15 lakh customers and about 730 branches. Rest obviously, you know, the 300 branches are functioning as is, and this year we have no plan to do anything on those 300 branches. The new branches are either way weekly, so, you know, so that part is sorted already. So we are you know, all these initiatives in our wisdom have to be taken if you really want to take Spandana to a 17,000 crores. And a stable and a robust model is what we've kind of planned for, and this is a step in that direction. Yes, we will have an impact probably in this quarter also, but then, you know, that's all, this is all temporary because these are customers who were with us. It is just that, you know, that entire disruption in terms of our schedule and their schedule has kind of not really aligned well. And with a 1.5 million base, you know, these things are anticipated. So hence we chose July and August month to kind of execute this so that we can cover up by the month of March of this year.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much for the detailed answer. So one last question was pertaining to the collection efficiency again. Sir, have you seen any impact in collection efficiency in Bihar, UP, you know, sort of states wherein there was derailment in collection efficiency because of rainfall or monsoon?
So we did a analysis, our chief risk officer, you know, he did a detailed analysis on both the drought, which is the short rainfall, and you know, wherever there was excess rainfall. What the impact of both, which is deficient as well as, you know, wherever there was higher, you know, was about the total portfolio impacted was about 2.5 or 3% of our entire book. So per se, and this exercise we did just about, I think about 4 weeks or 3 weeks back, you know, when this thing was very ripe. So immediately we, Bihar either way, we don't have a book, we have a book which is reasonably manageable. We are doing a very, very calibrated approach in each of these growth states, and we are fine. You know, we've not seen any drop or any stress, if that is the question.
Got it, sir. Got it. So the collection efficiency would broadly be like what? I mean, 94-95% for that 2.5% portfolio, or would it be even lower than that?
So specific question to Bihar, the collection efficiency actually is better than the national average. 98.5%
the country level. Got it, sir. So thank you so much for answering.
Shripal, hame hai na koi jage pe, matlab, because this is a very standard question which gets asked. We have not experienced any stress, specific stress in any of the states that we are talking about. Wherever there are issues, they are more internal than a market or an environment. So hence, you know, that is a matter of solace for us and everybody in the industry. But yes, of course, you know, we have to be very careful when we lend, and we have to be, as I said, lend short, lend muted.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering all my questions. Good luck for the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish Bua from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, just two questions from my side. One on the customer acquisition side. You know, so in this quarter, the new customer addition is actually at par with the industry leader. In fact, it is higher than that. So just wanted to understand, you know, what percentage of this customer are, let's say, unique to us, and maybe if you can just further share, you know, whether we'll be what, a second, third lender, or we'll be, let's say, first or second lender.
Renish, good evening. I will give you these stats. Customers, and it is not just specific to 3.5, I'm just giving you a flavor, you know, so it will be slightly more because it becomes a more, you know, slightly, you know, wider answer.
33-34% of our customer base. It was about 36% last quarter. We have 34% is a single lender relationship with Spandana. Another 33% is 1+1, which is apart from Spandana, there is one more. So this takes it to about 68-69. We have about 19% with a 1+2. And then the others are, you know, once they take a loan from us, then they go and, you know, kind of borrow from somewhere else. But what we have also been observing, Renish, is doing a lot of analytics in terms of, is there a correlation of either a ticket size or a number of lenders to the, you know, to the repayment behavior of the customers. Until now, we've not really, you know, seen any. That's number one. Number two, our focus will be on moving into geographies where we increase the single lender relationship, because single lender relationship also is a factor of our existing customer base and how much they want. So given the fact that we have normalized our operations, you will see a lot of these things, the 33-34%, touching the 38-40%. If you go back to my quarter one earnings call, we had said that our desire is that single lender and a 1+1 should be a 38-39 equivalent, you know, so about 78-79 should be 1 or 1+1. So that is the distance that we have to travel, and we are walking that path. That will obviously, in our wisdom, weekly kind of helps us, weekly repayment helps us in that. Plus, now out in the market from a customer point of view, Spandana is acknowledged as a stable lender, which when they need, there is a credit demand, and this is a credit, they need a periodic dose of capital for their running their regular businesses. Once they have that confidence, you will see this number increasing, you know, so that's how we are going to, you know, we are approaching the business.
Got it, sir. And just to follow up on that, so let's say the customer pool, you know, wherein, you know, the lender relationship is 1+2 and above, what could be the industry level outstanding for borrower?
So we will have to, we'll get back to you. We don't have it offhand.
Okay.
पर हमारा है ना रनिश जी, एट अ पॉइंट इन टाइम हमारी फिलॉसफी क्या है? हमारी फिलॉसफी है, हम कभी 2 लाख का लोन नहीं, मतलब 2 लाख वाला भी का, आई मीन इट डजंट रियली रिंग अ बेल विद अस. सो वी विल कंटिन्यू टू अक्वायर मोर एंड मोर कस्टमर, विच इज द अर्लियर क्वेश्चन श्रीपाल आस्क्ड, यू नो. सो वी विल कंटिन्यू टू फोकस ऑन दैट, एंड हेंस यू नो आर एक्सपीरियंसेस on a customer ticket size, you know, we are very well entrenched and we are very well in our capacity to ensure that we are able to hold on to our customer, which is our customer as well. I mean, as in right now we have about 2.7 million. So, you know, so that is what it is. What is very critical is that we, the share of wallet increases, and to the extent possible, if required, you know, if we have to. So we are even now after, you know, even if a customer has a vintage of 7 years or 8 years, we are still stuck at our maximum ticket size is 80,000, not more. So we are continuing to follow that philosophy, and I think we'll progress.
I'll just add, hi Renish, you know, our exposure at a customer level is 36,800 thereabouts. If you look at the industry average, should be hovering around, you know, 42,000 to 43,000. So if you add my borrower, my loan plus another loan, we are talking about, you know, 80,000 or somewhere there. Unless somebody has given loans which are like 3 years and all, then this number can increase. But otherwise, this should be hovering around. So given that we don't do 3 year loans, we have all 2 year at best. I think our kind of customer should be in that range of 70,000 to 80,000 maximum exposure in that 1+1 that you talked about.
So you asked a very important question, Ganesh, and I'm just adding a nuance to it. You know, what we track is not the ticket size. What we track is the indebtedness level. Our indebtedness level today is about 36,000, and this I can say with reasonable surety will keep on, you know, either will remain static at this number or will keep going down. which is exactly the opposite of what the industry, how the industry is moving. But we are very comfortable with this position. Our philosophy remains that, you know, the customer, and this is what we believe in, you will never lose a customer either on interest rate or ticket size. You will lose a customer on your conduct, on your, the way you kind of approach the customer, the way you deal with them. If you are transparent, if you are honest, if you maintain a cordial relationship with them and ensure that the credit supply is taken care of, their credit demand is taken care of, you know, you are there.
Got it. Sir, just again, so sorry to follow up on that. So let me put it this way. What is our credit filters, you know, wherein if the system level indebtedness of the customer goes, let's say, above 1 lakh or above 80,000, will not lend? I mean, does we have that kind of credit filters in our process or no?
No, it works the reverse. Given the FOIR and the 1.5 lakhs, you know, that is an automatic ceiling. My rejection at this point in time is 45%, and we have the only way to reduce that rejection is to increase the tenor from 24 to 36 or 48, which either way we don't have. So as a policy, we are rejecting a higher number for the reasons that I said, because we think this is the right way to do. You know, so
I'll just build on that. The way you can disburse a loan is maximum tenor can be 2 years. And within that FOIR eligibility, so your either your amount will go down or the loan will be rejected altogether. That's how it works.
Got it. And just last question from my side on the credit cost. So Ashish, you did mention that this 58 crore in this quarter is related to the passbook, let's say in next two quarters, what kind of impairment we still expect from the passbook? I mean, or this is the last leg and we are completely, done with the past impairment?
So there are two pieces to this, Ranish. One is ARC book that we have on the balance sheet. The total outstanding on the balance sheet is about 164 crores. We carry a provision of 34 crores, which emanates from the, you know, the ratings that are given by the trustee and the rating agency. So the provision is driven by that. We are confident that we'll be able to collect most of the ARC pool. So further provisioning may not be required in my mind. But if it happens, it should happen gradually over a period of time. That is part one. The other part is more about the assignment transaction, and it's a calibration that we've been doing around this. What we have on the balance sheet presently uncovered, or let's say what we have already paid as advance to the banks and needs to be addressed in the balance sheet, is about 16.6, 17 crores roughly, let's say. Having said that, we are in a business where we need to, keep taking the interest from the bank's perspective as well, and keep having a resolve around this. So one can expect another, let's say, I'm just guesstimating, a 40 to 50 crore kind of a number over a period of time, not necessarily immediate or whatever, but I'm just doing a future gazing here in a way. That's the number I have in mind, and we will be comfortable with that if at all that happens.
Got it. But sir, if we have only 17, 18 crore, which is there on the balance sheet, then why we are saying 40, 50 crore?
No, this is, Ranish, this is future. This could happen, is what Ashish is saying. While our efforts on the field continues, we are just defining the scope and the limit to what the discussion that we are having at this point in time. So it is not that this will happen next quarter or the next three quarters or four quarters. We are saying that is the total quantum of issue to be addressed while our efforts on the field continue. So, that is the max that we are talking about. That is the point Ashish was mentioning.
Got it. Okay. That's it from my side, sir, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Shah from Piper Serica. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. And first of all, congratulations for such a healthy set of numbers. I just had one question actually. That was related to on your slide number 8 actually. So my query was that when I'm seeing your from 1 to 30 day bucket and from 31 to 60 day bucket, I'm seeing a little bit deterioration in your asset quality. The 1 to 30 day bucket is going has gone up for the first time from 0.55 to 0.85, and 31 to 60 has gone from 0.42 to 0.60, and it has increased for the first time in the last 6 odd quarters actually. So my query was that have we actually started seeing some stress which we haven't seen actually for the last several quarters in this microfinance space, and if yes, then can you give some color on that please, sir?
Hi, good evening, Sagar. Thanks for the question. I think this is partly covered in the opening remarks made by Shalat. I'll try to explain this in little more detail. The movement that you see in the SMA buckets has primarily can be attributed to, you know, the Parivartan project that the company has taken up. We have moved almost about 700 branches in last quarter from a monthly kind of an exercise where we used to collect between 1st and 10th of the month to a weekly kind of a setup where we are asking customers to, you know, make the payments in the first week of the particular month, which is Monday to Friday. So in this, there is an administrative issue where the customers are still not aligned to the new thought process, and that is what is creating a little bit of, you know, slipovers or... So if you see our overall collection on the gross basis is still 100.3%, which means people are paying with some lag and there are some missouts that have happened which will catch up as we progress. And I think what we believe is in another 3 to 4 months, you could see this again normalizing and going back to the levels where we were in the past.
So Sagar, quickly, you know, while we covered, I covered this at a very, very length, you know, at a length in my opening remarks, but broadly, our company used to follow a collection cycle of 1st to 10th, which was a date, and the balance 20 days was for disbursement and member acquisition. What we have done is we thought it was not really the right thing to do was to do all the three things, which is collect, disburse, and acquire new customers every single day of the 20-21 days that you work. So we moved in 700 branches covering 1.5 million customers from the date to a day, which is instead of 1st to 10th, now we are saying Monday to Friday. You know, so he came out with a schedule to the customer saying, you know, ab aapko ab 8 tarikh ka installment nahi, aapko budhwar ko aana hai ya gurwar ko aana hai ya shukrawar ko aana hai. Ab wo 15 lakh customer ko pahunchate, you know, for a scale of this, you know, obviously there was to be a disruption. That is why we chose this quarter. We were fully aware of the risk, but then, you know, as I used the line in my...
You have 61 seconds.
Okay, sure, sir. And my last question, sir, was related to credit cost. As you already highlighted, there was a one-off in the quarter related to restructuring, so that's why our credit cost was little higher, 90 crores. So can you give a guidance of our credit cost for FY24 and for FY25 also?
You have 31 seconds.
आप वो अगर हमारी वो स्लाइड देखेंगे उसमें हमारा क्रेडिट कॉस्ट 1.4% ही है जो वो बैलेंस है वो है ऑन द दैट इज टुवर्ड्स द एसआरस एंड द यू नो सम असाइनमेंट ट्रांजैक्शंस दैट वी हैड डन सो यू नो आई डोंट वांट टू रियली टेक अप द टाइम ऑफ द अदर्स बट यू कैन सेपरेटली यू नो अस यू नो यू कैन सेपरेटली रीच आउट टू अस एंड देन वी विल काइंड ऑफ गेट
ओके या थैंक यू
थैंक यू. The next question is from Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Shalabh and Ashish. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask questions and congrats on demonstrating significant scale of the franchise. So first question is on the portfolio yield. So portfolio yield has improved from 24% to 24.5%. But the interest income has grown exactly in line with loan portfolio. That is by 10-11%. So does it imply that A good part of the growth that we saw in the quarter was slightly back-ended, and a true reflection of the higher yield will come in Q3.
Hi Rajiv, good evening. So I think the entire growth is in line with the portfolio growth, and the reflection of the yield is nothing but, you know, whatever the top line growth has been. What however happens is we have done two DA transactions which will move some of the income for the related to the quarter as well into the, you know, the other line item. Apart from the preponing of the income because of the DA transaction, which is almost of about 42 crores, which has gone into the other income line item, that gives you some aberration in terms of, you know, the portfolio yield. As far as portfolio yield is concerned, I think we are very much there. Maybe another 10 to 20 basis is what you can see maximum expansion.
So the history is, Rajiv, we increased post the March regulations. We increased the interest rate the first time around in June of 22. And then we had taken up our IRR from 21.97 to 24% in October, which is 12th of October 2022, which was last year. We took it up to 25. So for the past four quarters, we've been stable at the same interest rate. So the yield on account of the delta on interest rate has, I think, you know, kind of come one full year, you know, on a portfolio point of view. So now what you will see is not the delta on account of the increase in the rate, but more on account of the denominator increasing, you know, which will kind of progress as we move.
And just to cover the question in two numbers, 7% was the increase in the average AUM. The increase in the top line has been, interest income has been around 10%. So those are the numbers for you, Rajiv.
Okay. And Shalom also said that customer level indebtedness will remain static, or maybe even slightly come down. So when you speak about indebtedness, you're talking about our average outstanding per customer.
Correct.
Borrower?
Correct.
So then does it not imply that customer retention or portfolio vintage will not improve? Because, I mean, naturally, as your processes, your things are becoming much and much better, the customer stickiness, the customer retention should improve, and the migration into subsequent cycles will lift the overall blended outstanding per borrower. While I agree that you will also add new clients, can it not improve? I'm just asking.
Yeah. So what you're saying is right. However, for the next 1 year, so there are two parts we are discussing. We are discussing numbers. We are discussing philosophy. From a philosophy point of view, we will always be on the lower end of the ticket sizes. We will not go, which is what in the early part of the conversation I said, that our maximum ticket size we are operating at is 80,000, which is substantially lower than the industry. What you are saying is right. However, for the next 1 year, when we continue to pursue our customer acquisition-led growth, that is going to, by design, offer our customer a first cycle loan at 35,000. You will see that number being stabilized at a 36,000 or thereabouts. 1 year hence, when currently our proportion of new versus vintage customer is about 50-50. The day we start coming down to a 30% new and a 70% existing, that is when the 36 will move, start inching up. But that will eventually play out, say, about 6 quarters from now. But however, the 36 is unlikely to become a 46 or a 48. You know, at best, the 36 will be a 37, 38, 39. You know, that's the range that we are comfortable in, a sub 40,000. So indebtedness, even for an existing customer base, is a number that we should be comfortable with.
So what will be your thoughts about, AUM per loan officer, your office to assets ratio, maybe in the medium to longer term? When can we reach from where we are?
So we are currently, we've done this benchmarking. At an enterprise level. We are currently at a
318. So we are at AUM per LO at currently is 1.2 excluding training, and we are handling our custom our loan officers are handling 317 borrowers per loan officer. However, 317 Rajiv is a number that and this 317 is because we've added a lot of branches and loan officers, etc. This will immediately in the short term hit in the neighborhood of about 380 to 400 borrowers per per custom per loan officer, which next year we are targeting a 440 to 450 number. On the AUM side, you know, we are currently at a 1.2. We are targeting a 1.4 to 1.5 over the next 3 to 4 quarters. That's the number we are targeting. On the AUM side, a 1.4 to 1.5 is a number that I foresee stabilizing. And on the borrower to loan count, borrower to a loan officer, I think a number anywhere between 450 to 480 is a number that we'll be comfortable with. We have in our best of times done a 600 also in our previous company, but those days are were different, you know. So now anywhere 450 to 470 is a good enough number with a 1.5 crores of corresponding portfolio. Sorry for the long answer.
No, thanks. Thanks for this. Just a couple of observations and then I would like to hear your comments, and this is my last question. We have seen some addition even in the monthly collection model branches. There has been slight addition. That is one observation. And second is the growth in loan officers sequentially has been just 4%, while we have added significant number of branches. So is this because of yield lag?
Sorry. What was the, I understood the first question. What was the second question?
Second question is about the growth in loan officers on sequential basis has just been 4%. I'm asking this this question in the context of significant number of branches that we've added.
Okay, understood. So the monthly addition is because of the split branches, because the branches sometimes, you know, outgrow their, you know, their capability. When a branch starts clocking a 20 crore kind of a portfolio, you have no option but to administratively split. Otherwise, it becomes a slightly riskier branch, you know, from cash handling, etc., etc. perspective. So all of this either way will follow the our model of transforming from a monthly to a weekly. On the loan officer count, I think Rajiv, we've kind of reached where we wanted to. Maybe another 500, 700, and we are done for, you know, in terms of recruitment. We are, our branch addition and recruitment are, we've kind of, done whatever we had to, which was my point in the commentary when I said that, we've done all the, we've taken the cost, we've done all the investments in the distribution. Now it is all about efficiencies and productivity.
Got it. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thanks, Rajiv.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. And congrats, Shalab and Ashish, on a good quarter. So just two questions. The first one is more of a data keeping question. Ashish, if you could just tell us, what's the DA outstanding now as on September?
732 crores.
Right, thank you. And the other thing is, I mean, this time around, you already shared, I think, around 42 crores coming from the DA transaction, which you show as net gain on fair value change. So is this understanding right that, I mean, all the upfronting, or what we call as assignment income, when you undertake a DA transaction, you're booking it as net gain on fair value change?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Abhijit.
Got it.
This will include the income that you would have booked in the interest income between the date of cutoff and the date of transaction as well.
Got it. So essentially, if you do a DA transaction 45 days into the quarter, 45 days of interest income gets booked as net gain on fair value changes.
It may be 45 days, it may be 25 days, depending upon, you know, where did I pick up the portfolio from which date onwards. That's the
right thing. Understood. Understood. And this time around, we have reported net gain from fair value change of 60 crores. 42 is coming from this DA transaction that you did. Another 18 crores is coming from?
So whatever, you know, cash that we have, we park it into overnight funds with the mutual fund companies. And we get, you know, the income, interest income from there.
So even the MF and treasury income is classified in the net gain on fair value changes. Got it. Last question I had is, I mean, while you've already articulated, maybe the yields will go up by 10-20 basis points. So two parts to this. One is, I mean, on yields, do you think there is some regulatory risk, not specifically to you, but given how, I mean, other peers, and the interest rates at which they are lending, do you think there is a regulatory risk of, again, some kind of a capping coming in on yields or spreads? And the other question is, specifically on your cost of borrowings, I'm seeing Ashish, I mean, sequentially your incremental cost of borrowings have remained stable. Very heartening to hear that you've added three big lenders during this quarter, SBI, NABARD and SIDBI. So based on how discussions are progressing, I'm hoping you'll look to add more, maybe PSU bank lending relationships going forward. So how should the cost of borrowings kind of trend incrementally as well as on a portfolio basis going forward?
So I'll answer the cost of borrowing and then I'll hand it over to Shalabh on the industry view for how the interest rates are likely to move. In terms of cost of borrowing, yes, as we progress, we should see some more improvement in the marginal cost of borrowings for us. But if you overall look at the movement in terms of our cost of borrowing, it has been about 130 bps between last year and this year. And if I have to look at how the overall interest rates on the repo side has moved, it's almost like, you know, close to about 240, 250 basis points. So from that respect, we've been doing well. Having said that, I agree with you. As the participation from the public sector banks improve, and the mix changes, we should start seeing some benefit on the borrowing side.
Yeah, so I'll just supplement what Ashish said. By design, now what was left in our kitty were the public sector enterprises. So by design, this cost of borrowing or the cost of acquisition should go down. You know, that's our estimate. That's our guess, and it's a logical guess. Now, to your first question in terms of the on the interest rates and the NIMs that are being charged. Now, specific to us, we are currently at a 14%, 14.1% NIM. However, our gearing is just 2.3. If our gearing goes to a 4, which it will, you know, eventually one has to operate at a 3.5 to 4x, the NIMs should settle anywhere at about 12.5. Add about 2% of credit cost and cost of operations, you know, so you're talking of roughly about 4.5%. So 4.5% is what we had said that, you know, we'll kind of we are currently at a 7%, but I think, you know, on a AUM basis, I think we should settle anywhere on a long term basis at about 5.5%, you know, percent, and add another 2 to the cost on the credit cost, you know, you will have a 4.5 to 5% of our ROA. So your question in terms of, you know, do we see any intervention? Look, this is a physical model which is not a very inexpensive model. You know, one has to physically deploy a lot of people, and for all practical purposes, you know, they have to be monitored, which entails a lot of cost, and hence a 5.5-6% of you know, you need that amount to run the company. At a point in time when we, you know, if there is a question from the anywhere, you know, by regulator, you know, there are others also who ask this question. We have a perfectly valid reason that for unsecured microfinance lending, you know, a 4.5-5% is a very much tolerance, is a very much a doable. You know, levels and limits that we are at.
we also have to ensure that as an industry we lend responsibly. And with, when we say lend responsibly, means that the interest rates that we are talking about. And industry, if you see the big players, the top 10 players, if I remember correctly, contribute about 90% of the industry. Most of them are in the median of the number, which is a tolerable number. So, you know, it's a number which is a logical number to operate. And we balance all the in, the interests of all the stakeholders. So, you know, per se, you know, we are our personal view is that if we continue to operate in this space, we should be fine. However, you know, if there are questions, we'll be, you know, happy to answer anybody, you know, outside.
Good, sir. Thank you so much for the elaborate answer. That's all from my side. So, all the very best to you, Shalamashi, and respond.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, one question on the other loan products. So as part of our Vision 2025, we had also said we'll reach 3,000 crores in other other than MFI. So what's the progress there till now, given that we are 6 quarters away?
Yeah, so we had, and thank you for asking this question, Sarvesh. You know, we have opened 10 branches in Rajasthan. I think last time we had updated that, you know, we are going to expand in Rajasthan. This is under our subsidiary, Chris Financials. So we've opened 10 branches. We've disbursed about in the loan against property. While we are still finding our feet, but we are progressing really well. We've disbursed about 3.5 crores and done about 105, 106 loans. On the nano MSME loans, we've done, we just opened this up I think about last month of the quarter, last quarter, you know, we've done about 25 lakhs and 27 loans. We have 60 people already in the 10 branches that we have spoken about. All of these are people from the industry. We have, and I think I clarified this last time, these are separate, this is a separate market, separate branch, separate set of people, and even in the head office at a chief business officer level, there's a separate set of individuals, you know, kind of looking at it, because this entails setting up a full-fledged credit department, looking into it. This is complete. This has nothing to do with microfinance. So that is why we've demarcated and kept both the models separate. Our plan for quarter three is to take the number up to 50 branches by end of this year. I think we should do about roughly 75 crores to 100 crores this quarter. The reason why we, by the end of the year. The next year is when we scale up, and we'll scale pretty fast. We are just trying to even out all the rough edges that we have in terms of system, because there's a new system that we've taken. This is not the microfinance system. So new system, new setup, new environment, new market, new set of people. All of this, we are just socializing ourselves, and once done, towards the later part of quarter four, we kind of, you know, step up to deliver the plans that we've communicated.
Understood, sir. And just one clarification on the credit cost part. So if I understand this correctly, this 58 odd crore which has come up, so only 40 to 50 crore which is from assignment transaction is the sort of the further flow into this sort of a number which can happen as far as our pre-21 book is concerned, and nothing else is sort of under question as of now.
Yeah, so Sarvesh, there were two pieces to it. One, you got it right on the DA part. We do have a 128 crores of unprovided ARC portfolio, which is there, which we are very confident of recovering. So that's there on the balance sheet. In case, you know, in future we are not able to recover, we'll have to, you know, take some bit of cognizance of that.
And the remaining is the assignment, which is 40 to 50 crores over a period of time.
That is right.
So at least in one quarter, you may not see this sort of a number going forward.
No.
Understood. And the project Parivartan, which might have some impact on your credit cost on this quarter in terms of flows, and also 1.3% that we have got is inclusive of that, and hence we should expect this sort of a number going forward as well, or do we think that the real sort of an increase is going to come in the coming quarters from this?
So we'll see some flows in this quarter as well. The 1.4, yes, the 1.4% is a part of this. However, we are trying our best to kind of ensure that, you know, it remains within the the limits, within the original limits that we've been delivering over the past few quarters. However, having said that, our overall number that we've been very consistent in what we've been saying, we'll be sub of 2%, that we are very confident of meeting.
Understood, sir. So just one final question on the district concentration. Do we track that, and is it in line with what we wanted to achieve? I understood the state-wise guidance.
Next year maybe hai district concentration. Ek second mein batata hoon. Here, slide this number. 20 number pe hai. Yeah, so we do all of that, you know, the branch, district, state, zone, all of that we do. But the larger point is, Sarvesh, what one has to, and I would urge and I would draw your attention to, is our top three states are 41-42%. They contribute 41-42% to our overall kitty. Even if I draw, even if I go down, if you see, if you, I don't know if you have that slide in front of you, but if you go to the annexure slide 20, my top two states are 15 and 15, and rest every, all the states are sub 11. If you go back to the commentary that I said, you know, we said that exit 25, none of the states will be more than 12%. So which means two states, Odisha and Madhya Pradesh, have to come down from the current 15 to 12%. So this will come out of one, increase in denominator, and the second is obviously, you know, the there are certain pockets of inefficiencies which will kind of shut the tap on, which is going to get us to that number. So you know, the concentration norm is, and the corresponding mitigation is something that we are very, very clear in our heads, you know, and that is what we are driving. We are in a, I don't think we'll take more than 6 quarters to kind of get to a 12% across all states. I mean, the highest will be a 12% and the rest will be below.
Sure, sir. Congratulations again and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Last question.
Thank you. Yes, we have one last question. The last question is from the line of Anand Mundra from Soar Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on good set of results. I wanted to check on slide number 7. Your current book percentage has come down, so I couldn't understand this, from 97.1 to 96.7.
Hi, Anand. This is same as what we've been discussing about. So some of the paid with some delay, so they have been being classified in that 1 to 30 bucket, and that is why you see the current number has gone down from by 40 basis points.
See, what I understood from current number and old number is this is a current book and one is a pre-COVID book. That is how the percentage
No. Current book means no arrears.
Zero day delinquency.
Okay. Second, sir, I wanted to check how many branches we have moved to weekly collection now?
So, I'll give you a December position. You know, we will, because abhi wo fir bahut operational, non-operational, bada zara confusion hota hai. So, December tak hum log 1502 branches, I think there is a slide also that we have put up here, which is split into operational and not operational, but if we are already at 1502 branches, of which about 95 odd branches are yet to start operations. Exit December, which is two months away, rough and ready about 370 to 380 branches should be weekly. Ye saal khatam hoga, to we should be at about 450. These are all our organic branches. Jo existing monthly ko, whatever we are going to transform, all of that will slowly start playing out in quarter four and then quarter one from next year onwards.
So, sir, this problem of increase in SMA2 and GNPA, that may continue for another 3-4 quarters till the time you are moving everything to weekly branches?
नहीं, वो दोनों का कोई लिंक नहीं है. वो दोनों देखो, नई ब्रांच जो है वो तो वीकली मॉडल ही है, तो उसमें तो कोई लेना देना है ना, वो तो स्ट्रेट हो गया. अब जो एक वन टाइम हमने जो डेट से डे पे मूव किया, फ्रॉम इंस्टेड ऑफ फर्स्ट टू टेंथ वी मूव्ड टू वी हैव मूव्ड टू यू नो मंडे टू फ्राइडे, वो वन टाइम 700 ब्रांच में मूव किया था और वहां पे रोक दिया हमने, वो आगे नहीं कर रहे हम कुछ ये साल. तो ये 700 ब्रांचेस को हमारे को इसको करना है, जो विच आई सेड विल टेक अबाउट 3 months मैक्स 4 months एंड देन वील बी सॉर्टेड. द नेक्स्ट द अदर ब्रांचेस 300 ब्रांचेस विच आर मंथली आर वेरी बिग ब्रांचेस, सो वी आर नॉट टचिंग देम फॉर नाउ. यू नो वंस लेट अस डू दिस एंड एटलीस्ट गेट, एंड विच इज वाई कीप ऑन मेकिंग दैट स्टेटमेंट दैट एग्जिट 25 और एंड ऑफ FY 25 स्पंदना विल बी 80% वीकली, नॉट 100.
ओके नोटेड सर. सर वन मोर थिंग, हाउ मच बैड डेट रिकवरी हैपेंड इन दिस क्वार्टर और 6 months?
H1 में we've recovered 54 crores. Last year write off recovery was about 23-24 crores. 39. Last year. H1 में अभी 54 crores हुआ है. 54 crores हुआ है और we are targeting upwards of 100 crores, which is another 50 odd crores in the balance.
Okay. And sir, with respect to collection efficiency, since you have moved some branches to weekly, how this is being calculated now? This 97.7%. So you are calculating
separately? इसमें है ना, इसमें monthly weekly का कोई लेना देना नहीं है. ये net collection efficiency का definition बहुत ही simple है. It was due on the day. Did you collect on the day or not? इतना सिंपल रखते हैं हम, ज्यादा कॉम्प्लिकेट नहीं करते. इसमें कोई क्रिएटिविटी यूज नहीं की है हमने. हम बहुत सिंपल वो है. ग्रॉस इज जो लैग से आया वो हम
विद रिस्पेक्ट टू नेट कलेक्शन एजेंसी, यू आर सेइंग दैट यू आर टेकिंग डेट वाइज नॉट मंथ वाइज.
हाँ मतलब वो डेट का एंड में मंथ में ही होगा ना, क्योंकि अलग अलग दिन पे होता है, तो एंड में तो घूम फिर के. जब मैं सितंबर रिपोर्ट करूंगा, तो चलो मैं उसको और सिंपल कर देता हूँ. सितंबर रिपोर्ट करूंगा मैं, तो सितंबर में अगर किसी कस्टमर का ड्यू था वो था कि नहीं था, वो आया तो आया जाएगा, नहीं तो अदरवाइज इट विल गो डाउन. सो
यू विल सी एट द एंड ऑफ द मंथ, मतलब वेदर इट इज वीकली और एनी डे ऑन द मंथ, करेक्ट ना?
वी मॉनिटर एवरी डे, बट ऑब्वियसली फ्रॉम अ रिप्रेजेंटेशन पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू वी हैव टू ड्रॉ लाइन समवेयर एंड present to you, no? So we follow that.
And this gross collection and net collection, the difference being the excess largely would be prepayment.
No, so say for example, if I had 100 due in the month of September, I collected 90. I am just theoretically saying I collected 90. Thus, reh gaya. Ye ab agle mahine mein bhi suppose. मैंने 100 में से 90 लेके आया और ये पिछला वाला 10 पूरा का पूरा 10 अगले महीने आ गया. तो अगले महीने का नेट होगा 90, ग्रॉस होगा 100.
अंडरस्टूड सर. ठीक है, आई एम डन सर. थैंक्स अ लॉट.
थैंक यू वेरी मच. दैट वाज द लास्ट क्वेश्चन इन क्यू. आई वुड नाउ लाइक टू हैंड द कॉन्फ्रेंस बैक टू द मैनेजमेंट टीम फॉर क्लोजिंग कॉमेंट्स.
Yeah, so thank you very much for being on the call. We are very thankful for giving us the support during the quarters. We will continue to deliver as a management. You know, we continue to work on the Vision 25 plan that we had articulated. As highlighted in my commentary earlier, we've started working on the Vision 25 to 28, which we will be able to share with you when closer to the end of the year. So thank you for all your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Spandana Spurti Financial Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.